So in those cases, if the person has no evidence of metastatic disease and there is a complete response to the LHRH, I generally stop it after some time.
What are your thoughts about the studies looking at bicalutamide monotherapy?
The fact that it was compared to LHRH, combined androgen suppression, and at the follow-up now, I think it's 7 years, the outcome is almost identical between the two groups is extremely important because definitely in those 7 years, the quality of life of these men is, as reported, quite different. And also offers an option that was not available in the past. In fact, in my own clinical practice is something that I use many times, androgen-sparing approaches, particularly for the young males who are potent and do not want to have androgen ablation. And some not so young either, because they have the major side effects from testosterone deprivation, as we all know, not just loss of libido, but overall sense of energy, sense of well-being, aside from osteoporosis and loss of muscle mass, etc. It's an option that I use quite frequently. And I think it's been quite successful. Obviously, my experience is anecdotal, so I cannot speak except for the fact that the quality of life is significantly changed by using an androgen-sparing approach. I have my own ways in which I use the androgen-sparing approach. And I see this all the time now. More and more people are using, for instance, single-agent Casodex at 50 milligrams, which in the studies that were designed looking at 50, 100, and 150, 50 appeared to be way inferior to 150 in terms of its ability to achieve complete block on the androgen receptor and long-lasting remissions. And in fact, that's been the anecdotal experience of several other people, even if you use other antiandrogens. So I generally use 150. Sometimes in this country, as you may know, may not always be covered by insurance. And that's a potential problem, although I've also found that many insurances will go ahead with it. Many systems will approve of it because otherwise you would have to go to Lupron. And at the end of the day, it sort of balances out and it's an oral agent. The second thing I always offered men that are going on bicalutamide is to have breast radiation. I think it's very important to avoid the gynecomastia. It's certainly to the degree that it would happen without any radiation. Some breast tenders it remains. The other thing I think it is important is that the breast radiation, at least in, that's the way I do it, be done with sufficient time to allow for the breast to atrophy, because most people start the Casodex and send them to the radiation. So you're on the one hand stimulating estrogens, you know, conversion of the testosterone to estrogens. On the other hand, you're given radiation. It's like both are not going the same direction. You're stimulating the breast and you're giving radiation at the same time. So I think it's important to give the radiation ahead of time, like 2 or 3 weeks ahead, and then start the Casodex. Also, my own bias is that as you give high-dose Casodex, testosterone levels rise significantly, something in the level of the thousands, and everybody feels very happy about that. The sense of energy and well-being is really extraordinary for some men. But I'm always concerned about the conversion of testosterone to dihydrotestosterone and the fact that this is something that we know, this is from molecular studies, that the high levels of dihydrotestosterone can displace the bicalutamide and activate the androgen receptor in other ways. So my own approach has been to use it in combination with finasteride. And in fact, I can tell you from some of my patients that we see decline to PSA just by, you can follow their PSA curves and see that the PSA drops, let's say, 2.5 or something like that, 0.1. And you add the finasteride, there it goes, down to the undetectable range. I've had men on intermittent monotherapy for a number of years now. I mean, most of these men, I will tell you right away, that I do explain all the potential. I do give them a spiel about hormonal therapy, and if they decide to go this way, what are the potential side effects and some toxicities that we don't know enough about. First of all, I make very clear that androgen suppression is the only established treatment that really does seem to affect disease for survival and survival. and is the best researched approach. That's established, and there would be no argument about this. I already have design, and we are proudly going to launch, hopefully it will be approved by all the committees, a study testing an androgen-sparing approach for future development. And the basic idea of this is that, similar to what was done with bicalutamide, you know, when you use bicalutamide at high doses, either alone or with finasteride, similar to the Ulexin finasteride studies, you're only interfering with the activity of androgens in the androgen receptor, is the peripheral androgen blockade only. But today we know that the androgen receptor, which is the target of bicalutamide, is in fact activated by multiple other signal transduction pathways. And also that the androgen receptor is upregulated in the process of androgen suppression or recurrent prostate cancer. So perhaps in addition to blocking the androgen receptor with bicalutamide, what we have to do is use additional blockers that we know activate the androgen receptor through these multiple pathways. And today we have all the resources to do so and to explore this option. So as I see it, we will be moving ahead with combinations of bicalutamide with various targeted agents in multiple arms to then try to pick which one appears to be most promising in a study where the standard arm would be bicalutamide with finasteride. So in that way, we will be able to, hopefully in the future, come up with combinations that will extend and will enhance the response rate to bicalutamide and maybe even extend the duration of response even much longer. And maybe we can avoid androgen suppression altogether.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to our speakers, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for Prostate Cancer Update.